While you set out to enjoy the outdoors, you might notice a curious fungi under your feet, some mushrooms, and we're going to learn a lot more about them in the next 45 minutes or so, including how to identify them, how to know which ones are poisonous, which ones you can cook up into a tasty meal. Larry Mueller here for the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and my guest this hour is Tom Volk. Tom is a professor of biology at the UW-La Crosse. Here to answer your questions about mushrooms at 1-800-642-1234. If you have questions, I hope you'll join us or experiences to share as well. It's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can find us on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. And Tom Volk, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it very much.
Hi, Larry. Glad to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you with us. I have a graduate student who makes a little extra money on the side by going out and mushrooming and selling the mushrooms at some of the higher-end restaurants in downtown Madison.
Yeah, that's good. I did that when I was actually after I got my PhD and didn't have a job.
So yeah.
I approve.
Yeah, it's a lot. What kinds of mushrooms are out there right now?
Right now, the big mushroom that's out there are the morels.
Yeah.
And so those are the ones that everybody wants right now. They're coming on strong in Wisconsin, and so there's plenty to find, I think. It was wet, and now it's warmed up, so they should be popping up quite a bit.
Yeah, they really should. As a matter of fact, Jim and Colfax might even have a report on that. Jim, hi. Thanks for calling.
Larry, this is Jim. You've talked to me a few times about my syrup and things like that. But I'm telling you, I had more fun. Mother's Day, we went out and started looking for them. We found little bitty babies. And so we took just enough to eat. But the unique thing is I'm finding the mushrooms in a CRP field. It was sprayed a couple of years ago to replant into a CRP grass that the state wants planted. And the unique thing is, after that, I was having trouble finding them in the woods and things. I was turned on to them about 4 years ago, got a taste of them, and I was hooked. I had a couple little neighbor kids that I showed a picture to and said, I'm having trouble finding these. They're helping the family do some work back in this field so the brush didn't grow out into this open field. And they came back a few hours later with the biggest mushrooms I've ever seen. They were big like a Gatorade bottle.
Oh.
And I could not believe it. I've been looking. I had spent 8 hours looking next to the elm trees everywhere. And these kids came back, and I said, let's go get some more. They said, there's lots of them. So I grabbed a little onion sack. They kind of laughed at me, and I said, what's wrong? And they said, well, you're going to need a bigger sack than that.
Huh?
I'm like, how many are there? Well, I would bring a couple five-gallon buckets. And I about fell over. I couldn't believe it. And that day we picked about 14 pounds of them.
Oh, very good.
This was last spring on June 1st, and I didn't know what to do with them all. So after I got them all cleaned up, ready to go, I had contacted the food co-op, and they said they didn't want them because they were washed. And they would have paid $50 a pound for them. So I missed the boat. So this spring we went back to our honey hole, and we went, like I said, on Mother's Day, got a few. We waited until last weekend. I went and spent 3 hours, four of us, picking them. And we came back with another 14 pounds. And I sold 7 pounds the other day, 2 days ago, to the food co-op. And I've never seen somebody so happy to get those on their shelf to sell in Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Did you find them again in the CRP soil this year?
Yep, that's where I'm finding them.
Finding them.
I haven't even made it into the woods yet there. If they're there, they got to be in the woods, too. And it's surrounded, you know, by a huge woods. Elms and oaks and, you know, all hardwoods. But just, it's so much fun to go out with the family and picking them. My little three-year-old girl was stepping on them, kicking them.
You know, oh, my goodness.
Saving them. And we're trying to control her. Don't, you know. And then she got the hang of picking them and putting them in the sack with us. And it's, I don't know, just a family outing was more of an experience than I've ever had this year doing it that way than any time before.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. And Tom Volk, that's kind of part of the whole thing about mushroom hunting,
yeah,
isn't it?
There's a lot of, it's a great family activity to go out with your family and your friends and other people and find lots of mushrooms. And there are amateur mushroom clubs around the country. There's a Wisconsin Mycological Society that's based mostly in Milwaukee and Madison, that has four organized 4As that they go out and teach people how to hunt mushrooms. So those are some that are worth joining.
And the we actually had on my Facebook page, we had someone sent a photo of some mushrooms and said, "What are these?" And somebody else texted and said, "Well, or messaged and said, well, those are false morels."
Right.
So they're out there too.
Right. So you got to be careful if you are hunting for wild mushrooms that you know which ones are edible and which ones are poisonous.
Yeah.
So the false morels in southern Wisconsin don't look very much like the true morels, but then you get northern Wisconsin and there are much more similar. And so I get emails all the time from people that are wanting to eat the false morels, and it's very tempting because they're big and they're meaty, but they also have a chemical in them that is one chemical bond away from rocket fuel. And so they can cause lots of problems if you don't know how to prepare them correctly. And even if you do know how to prepare them correctly, it's still tricky.
Yeah. So how do you tell them by looking at them?
The true morels are hollow all the way through. The false morels are filled with kind of this cottony mass, the mycelium, we call it. And so they're not hollow. And in addition to that, the false morels, the cap is only attached at the very top of the stalk, and in the true morels, the cap is attached all the way down its whole length.
Okay. All right. Well, that should make it reasonably easy to tell apart.
Once you've seen them, they're pretty easy. But if you're inexperienced and you really, really want that to be a morel, you could talk yourself into that false morel being a real morel.
Well, Jim and Colfax, thank you so much, and good luck to continued good luck with your mushroom hunting. I want to give Leland in Egg Harbor a chance to join us. Leland, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Good.
My question is, I was out hunting for morels the other day, and, I've actually had this happen once before, a number of years back, where I find a mushroom that I think is a verpa, and it looks exactly like a morel. The only difference is that as your guest that I was saying, that with the morel, the cap and the stem are attached at the bottom. But this one the stem goes all the way up, like it goes up into like a thimble that you'd stick on your finger, and attaches at the very top on the inside of the morel.
Right.
And the cap isn't attached at all. And I think that's called a verpa. It looks exactly like a morel. There's no ambiguity at all. You think you're looking at a morel. And my question is, are they genetically? Is it a whole different species of mushroom?
Right, they're not related.
And my understanding is the verpa is not edible.
That's right. If you have the verpas are tricky. There's two different species. One of which is pretty innocuous but doesn't have much flavor, and the other one has a muscle relaxant in it. And so you can, and that survives cooking. And so you can, you need to be careful with the verpas and not, I wouldn't eat the verpas. But they're always going to be, the stem is going to be stuffed with this sort of cottony mass. But there's another, the half-free morel can be confused with verpas if you're unfamiliar with them. And they're called half-free because they could be called half-attached as well, because the cap is only attached halfway down the stem.
Half-free morel. I thought the half-free morel had to.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what. If you post a picture on Larry's page on Facebook, or you send me an email, then I can take a look at it and see which is which, because they're tricky without knowing what you're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. How did you get interested, Tom, in mushrooms?
Well, I took a course in college, and I found out you could get free food. So that was very appealing to be able to do that. And so then when it came time to go to grad school, that's what I decided I wanted to study. It was there's a lot of opportunities in fungi. There's, we only know about 5% of the fungi that exist out there by name. And probably some 95% of the species of fungi are probably unknown to science.
Well, as you were explaining or talking about the verpa and has like a muscle relaxant, are there some medicinal, sounds like there could be some medicinal qualities that would be worth exploring.
Yeah, there. I heard several years ago that there were some clinical trials going on to see if that was something that could help people with muscle spasms or things like that, but it must not have worked very well because I haven't heard anything recently.
Hmm. You can join in, too. We have some open lines for you at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show with your questions about identifying or finding or handling mushrooms. Do you need help identifying them? How do you prepare them once you've picked them? Love to hear from you again. 1-800-642-1234. Nelson in Round Lake wonders, how do I know if mushrooms are poisonous? I generally don't eat mushrooms because they might be poisonous.
Yeah, that is a very good thing to have. You have to know for sure what the species is. And then you read about it in books and things like that and find out who's eaten it before and whether or not they survived. So we can't do these experiments on purpose, but there are lots of times where people have eaten things and had a bad reaction or they die. So, and then once we know that there's a toxin in one particular species, we look at the related species and see if there's toxins in there as well.
Hmm.
So we can assay for.
Well, there are some, sad stories out there. I remember a story of it. This was several years back. A family from France in the Washington, D.C. area went out mushrooming and picked some mushrooms that looked like the ones that they had in France, but it turned out not to be the case, and I think they all died.
Yeah, that happens a lot, more than you would think, because especially happens with people from Southeast Asia, because there is a mushroom here that looks like something that they eat in Asia, but the thing here is called the death angel. So it's not obviously something you want to mess around with.
No, absolutely. Harriet, go ahead.
There have been lots of poisonings in Wisconsin. There were a couple of death angel poisonings last year in Wisconsin.
Oh, there were. How, what does it do to you? I mean, is it?
So this particular death angel destroys the liver. So it doesn't allow transcription or translation of proteins, and so your enzymes stop functioning, and the liver cells die, and then it takes quite a while for that to happen. You don't get any symptoms for 12 to 24 or 48 hours even, and then by that time your liver is mostly destroyed.
Oh, boy. Harry in Madison has a question for you. Hi, Harry.
Hello. I had a question for the guest today. I know certain mushrooms all classified as psilocybin mushrooms have a hallucinogenic effect.
Right.
Is that hallucinogenic effect, is it in the realm of describing that mushroom as being toxic, or is it
depends.
That a separate characteristic?
Yeah, it depends on how you would like to classify that. It certainly is for most people not a desirable thing. And, of course, it's not legal in this country for various reasons. But you can call it whatever you want. We have words in science that sometimes the fungi don't read the book. They don't know what they're supposed to do. And so you could call it whatever you want, but you can call it a hallucinogen.
Mm. All right. There you go. Tom Volk, professor of biology at UW La Crosse, talking with him about mushrooms and mushroom hunting and preparing mushrooms. Haven't gotten into that yet, but we soon will. Larry Mueller here. Cynthia Schuster, our on-air producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking today with Tom Volk, professor of biology at UW La Crosse, about mushrooms and mushroom hunting. Thanks for listening in. If you have a question, call us. The number's 1-800-642-1234. Let's turn to Allison in Drummond, Wisconsin next. Hi, Allison.
Hello. I got to tell you, I'm very happy about the program today. I'm always curious about mushrooms.
Good.
I'm currently sitting by a campfire, and we're hunting for mushrooms. It was last season, I was hunting for morels, and we found your standard morel. And then I also found a, I would say, 5 to 6 inch tall cream, long stemmed with a small brown, just a standard brown, not dark, not light, just brown cap. And the person that I was hunting with said that it was also a varietal of morels. I don't know if you have access to your website right now, but he just posted a picture of it.
Did it have gills on it?
It didn't have gills. The cap was pitted like a morel, but it was a very long stem. We ate it. Nothing bad happened.
No. Well, we have a data point.
Post it on my Facebook page or on...
I think he posted it on the Facebook page.
Okay.
Right.
The Larry Mueller Show Facebook page.
All right, we'll see.
Oh, yeah, those are false. Those are half-free morels.
Those are half-free morels?
Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. So it was safe to eat them then.
Yeah. They're not as good as the regular morel, the other kinds of morels, but they make a really good morel helper.
Yes, we mixed them in with when we were frying up the other morels, and we mixed them in with them, and it was just, they were great.
Yeah,
they were great.
So the trick is to look and make sure that it's hollow on the inside. And if it's not hollow, if it's stuffed with this kind of cottony mycelium, then that's a verba.
Yeah.
And those are things that you should avoid.
Ah, yes. Yes. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah,
I appreciate
those are
it.
Nice mushrooms.
Oh, while I've got you, when should the spring oysters pop?
Oh, they're out. They're out. They should be
out. They're
out
right now?
Yeah, the spring oyster mushrooms are another one that's out now, and they'll be in more abundance in a few weeks, but there are some that are out right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and you can
wonderful.
Also find the
so
velvet
much.
Stem or the winter mushroom is out now as well.
Which ones? I'm sorry?
The velvet stem mushroom, mm-hmm. or it's called the winter mushroom. Growing on elm trees, they're in clusters, and they're orange-colored.
And the oysters look kind of like oysters.
The oysters look kind of like oysters. They're white and kind of like the shell of the oyster they look like.
How would you describe their flavor or taste?
A lot of them are, depends on, it's like tomatoes, they're different flavors, but they're, most of them are, some of them have kind of an anisey flavor or smell,
mm-hmm.
and some of them are much more mild than that, but they're, it's a tortoise sweet flavor. They're pretty good if you know how to cook them pretty well.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Thanks, Allison. Appreciate your call. And Rick in Appleton, your turn. Hi, Rick.
Hi, good morning, gentlemen. I got a question. Doctor, is there a way to preserve mushrooms so I can be eating them in December?
Yeah, most of a lot of mushrooms, especially things like morels and hen of the woods and things like that, are really good if you can dry them, either air dry them or on a food dehydrator on low. And then I actually like morels better after they've sat for a year and dried for a year, and the flavor concentrates, and that works very well. You can also
where are you storing them in this year period?
I keep them in a mason jar or Ziploc bags or things like that. Thick Ziploc bags.
Okay.
And some people like to, you know, if you want to keep the bugs away, you put them in the freezer too. But they can't. Uh-huh. In the Ziploc bags, sometimes they can get in, but in the mason jars,
yes.
if they're sealed, they can't get in.
Yes. Yeah. My brother just took 11 pounds to Chicago to two restaurants. Got $65 a pound.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
it is, but it's a good hobby. So it pays for its gas.
For some reason, the prices seem to have gone up this year, but I don't know whether that's a real increase or what's really going on.
You know, it was kind of late, so there might have been some pent-up demand there. You know, it was a couple weeks late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of the morels that get picked in Wisconsin get sent to Indiana to be served at the Indy 500.
Oh.
They serve morel sandwiches in the infield.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so a lot of the stuff this week is going there, especially.
That is.
When will the season peak out here, Doc?
It's hard to tell. I think that'll go for another. It depends on what part of Wisconsin you're in. So another week or two.
Okay.
You know, I've collected them here in La Crosse as late as July or not July, June 10th.
Okay.
And so, you're collecting on the north slopes at that point. Get the heat a lot later.
Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate the program.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. Thanks very much for calling. Kelly in Hartford with a question for you. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. Good morning. I have three or four questions I'll ask. I'll just fire off quickly and then get offline so I can hear the answers. But I'm hoping that when you talk about preparation that you'll tell us how to best clean them. And I suppose if you're picking them for somebody else, they say not to clean them. My second question would be then, how do I know who would like them? How do I find a buyer? Because we end up with so many. And then the name again, please, of the society where we can join them to learn about mushroom harvesting. And then the fourth question would be, are they harmful to animals? We graze our animals, and some of them are wood-browsing animals, and so we're worried that they might have an ill effect on our animals, speaking specifically about morels, that is. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks for calling. Okay. So first, cleaning them.
So if you pick them clean, they will be clean when you bring them home. So if you pinch them off or cut them off, and when you put them in the bag, they're not going to get the dirt in them, and you don't have to worry about cleaning them at all. But if you're not careful and you include dirt in that, if you don't field clean them, then you'll have much trouble trying to get the get them without any grit in them. And so, but if you do clean them, you can wash them, but just very briefly in water. Don't soak them. Some people like to soak them in salt water to get the rid of the bugs, but that's just extra protein, so I don't really worry about it.
Yeah, I don't either. And, you know, buyers, how do you find a buyer? Well, I know my grad student would just walk around to the various higher-end restaurants and showed up and sold them right there to the chefs.
Yeah, here in La Crosse, we have WebKey Fur and Trading Company buys morels, and across the river in La Crosse, there's another buyer, and they're scattered around. So I don't know in your particular area where they are.
Mm-hmm. And then what about the organization?
So that's the Wisconsin Mycological Society is the organization in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin Mycological Society. Maybe, right. Cynthia, maybe you can put that up on our Facebook page so people can just click to it and link to it. And then what about animals? Of course, animals are likely to be, like my cats, for example. They if I left a bag of morels on the counter, they'd probably be trying to nibble at them.
Yeah. You can often find morels in the wild that the tops have been tasted, usually by a deer. But most other animals leave morels alone. They'll eat a lot of other kinds of mushrooms, but they generally not leaving morels alone. The ants actually, if you find a big mushroom, sometimes there's an ant colony inside of it. So you have to be careful of that as well. But dogs and cats are not harmed by, unless they eat a lot of morels. But if people eat morels raw, they sometimes will get a stomach upset.
And again, it's...
Be careful with that.
Yeah, and Wisconsin Mycological Society, right?
Right. WisconsinMycologicalSociety.org.
Okay, there we go. We'll get that up on our Facebook pages so people can go and click right to it. Now, you hear a lot of things about preparing morel mushrooms, and maybe we should talk about that. I mean, do they need to be totally cooked?
They should be totally cooked, yes.
If they're not, you risk getting sick.
Right. There's chemicals that are destroyed on thorough cooking. And that's true with a lot of mushrooms. I don't eat any wild mushrooms raw. Because you don't know what kind of bacteria or other odd fungi are growing on them, and you don't know for sure about whether dogs and other things have been
around
doing things with them.
Yep, that's and Luke from Fond du Lac emailed and wondered, where's the best place or habitat to find morel mushrooms? Riverbeds, fields, what do you look for?
In Wisconsin, you'll have the most luck in dead elm trees. Look for dead elm trees, the ones that have just died, the previous year, and then check under there for the morels. Then there's a decline over the several years for that elm tree to decay.
So there, you may have morels for a while there.
Right. And also look under in old apple orchards, the ones that haven't been sprayed for a while.
Oh, that's a good
thing. So they often show up there. But you have to be really careful about old apple orchards, because some of the, in the 60s and the 70s, a lot of them were sprayed with lead arsenate as a chemical to deter fungi. And the fungi bioaccumulate lead and arsenate.
Oh.
So it's possible that the morels can pick up lead and arsenic from the soil on those old orchards.
We had Thomas in Manitowoc with a question for you. Hi, Thomas.
Hi. When we hunt after morels looking at the elm trees, we run across a lot of mushrooms. Is it pronounced a dyad saddle?
And the dryad saddle,
Yeah, they kind of have an odor almost like watermelon rind. Mm-hmm. And I looked in my books, and some people describe them as so-so, and others, they're not very good, but they are edible. Have you ever experimented and tried those?
Yeah, this one is also called the pheasant's back mushroom, or the dryad saddle. Dryad is one of those wood nymphs in mythology. And so these things grow on the sides of elm trees. They're really scaly on the top and have pores underneath. And I have tried every way I can possibly think of to get them to be delicious to me. And they taste okay, but they're really, really, really chewy. So the best way I have found to use them is to collect them, cut them in strips, and dry them. And then sometime in the winter, you take a few of the strips and you boil them for a couple hours. And then you throw away the mushrooms and you have a really nice soup stock.
Oh. Okay.
Then they do not have a taste, like their odor changes when you dry them. It's more of a pungent kind of a savory flavor than that.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Thanks.
So, but some people really like them and they eat them. You know, your mileage may vary. It's hard to no accounting for taste.
Craig in Wausau wondered if morels grow in central Wisconsin, and if not, can the soil be inoculated to make them grow?
Yeah, so they're all through. I think morels have been found in just about every county in Wisconsin. They're more abundant away from Milwaukee, so they're not so much in the Kettle and the moraines there. But they're in there. But they're more abundant in other places. And if you don't find any, you can inoculate with them. I had success at my house when I had the wash water from the morels, and I threw it out under the porch, and there they came up and eventually. So, so they can work, but it's not very reliable. It's not reliable enough to really count on. But you know, it's more likely to work if you throw the spores out than if there aren't any spores there.
Yeah, that's right. I've tried that too, and I've had no luck with that. But
yeah,
it may be just the places. You know, I might not have the right location.
Right.
Speaking of location, this is a story from several years back, but my dentist was telling me about one of his patients, an older lady who called him and said, I have these mushrooms in my backyard in town. This is right downtown, right in Madison. And mm-hmm. he went over there and plucked two grocery bags full of morel mushrooms right in her backyard in Madison.
That's not bad.
Yeah, he called the next year to check, and they weren't there anymore, so he didn't get them. Perry in Reedstown, hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, I have a question about a different kind of mushroom, not a morel.
Okay.
But in more towards the fall, around evergreen trees especially, mm-hmm. I find a capped mushroom. I looked it up in a mushroom guide, and I think it's a bolete.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have gills. It has spongy stuff underneath the cap.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if those were edible or not.
So there are about, in Wisconsin, maybe 50 or 60 different species of bolete. And so some of them are edible and pretty good and very good. Some of them are edible and mediocre, and some of them are poisonous.
Aha. Uh-huh. And
so you have to know exactly which one it is to be able to eat that.
All right. And
so it's a little trickier than probably I can answer in a minute.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, I got a couple of mushroom books, mm-hmm. guides, and I looked them up, but I couldn't tell, you know, for sure what they were.
Yeah, they're a little bit tricky because
there's
a lot that are really similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
if you post a picture, I'll take a look at it if you have a picture.
Okay. And where do we send the picture to?
Post it on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page.
Oh, okay. I can do that.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Carl in Fond du Lac, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. How you doing today? Great show. I love this stuff, talking about things, especially food.
Mm-hmm.
You got a question. I'm an old morel hunter from way back. Live in the woods, so I've got a couple of spots where they do grow, and it's such a seasonal thing, you know. It's only probably for me, probably 3-4 weeks or something like that. Conditions have to be perfect, moisture, coolness, et cetera, et cetera. Got to be by elm and oak. And I bought a kit. It just arrived a couple of days ago, mm-hmm. so I wanted to intentionally plant them, and it says do not plant them near an existing bed. And I'm kind of like, why not? Maybe I'll get a hybrid, or maybe they'll cross-pollinate better, or whatever.
What kind of kit did you get? For what kind of mushrooms is the kit?
It's a morel kit.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of like, well, why wouldn't you put it in the most obvious place? You know, it's got moisture, it's got coldness, it's got decaying oak, decaying elm. I mean, all the factors are right. Why wouldn't I put it in there?
It sounds like a good spot to put it to me. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with whatever company is selling them. So they may have their own reasons, but I think you could put it anywhere where you think the conditions are good.
I would. I'm wondering about this because if this is not a surefire thing.
But. No, it doesn't work. Probably it may work 5 or 10% of the time.
Yeah. So, but even then, it's probably worth it to a lot of people. I sure love those morel mushrooms.
Yeah, fun to try.
What's your favorite way to prepare them?
So my go-to method for cooking any kind of edible mushroom is I fry it, I saute it in olive oil and some butter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I brown them. I make sure that they're brown before I eat them.
So do you ever put flour on them or not?
Some people put flour on them. I don't. I just taste the flour then. But, mileage may vary and all that. The most decadent way I ever made morels was my friend was visiting from New Orleans, and she brought me some crawfish tails.
Mm.
And I had some really big morels, and I made a stuffing out of the crawfish tails. And I stuffed them into the morels. I slathered the whole thing with butter, and I grilled them.
Oh.
And then I sliced them. Once they were browned and cooked, then I sliced them crossways. So you had the morel on the outside and the... a ring with the morel on the outside and the stuffing on the inside, and they were really good.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Daryl in Oshkosh, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi there. How you doing?
Good.
Say, my question was on the lobster mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
I have found them before, and I've ate them, and then I've heard that you were maybe not supposed to eat them because they're a parasite on maybe another mushroom that may be poisonous, and I didn't know if that was true.
Yeah, so the lobster mushroom, I see your post now, the lobster mushroom is a red parasite of a fungus on another fungus. And apparently the parasite fungus is a really good taxonomist. So it knows how to identify the mushrooms that are edible. And so there is a possibility that it would parasitize something non-edible or poisonous, but this mushroom has been eaten all over the world for hundreds of years, and no one's ever been poisoned by it. And so there's a tiny bit of caution in there, but I like the lobster mushrooms a lot.
Yeah,
I'll post a little link to my lobster mushroom page right after your question there.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
Well, I thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Daryl, for calling. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's a nice photo there. Joy in Madison. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. This is really fun to listen to all these people finding all these stands of morels. And I'm just wondering, maybe you partly touched on this when you talked about inoculating with wash water, but should they be leaving some percentage of the morels to go to seed or spore, whatever you call it, for next year? Or
If you're a good ethical hunter, you'll leave some of them behind. I've found that it's nearly impossible to pick everything anyway, because there are usually some small ones that are going by. Often by the time you found them, they've dispersed their spores anyway. Some people carry their mushrooms in mesh bags so that they disperse the spores as they're leaving the forest.
So they don't have to be totally dead before they release the spores. I mean, they don't
right.
have to be.
Yeah, they're releasing the spores as soon as they mature.
Great.
And so, they're doing okay.
Yeah.
And I've been in areas where even commercial hunters have gone through, and I still find morels. So I don't think it's possible to pick everything that's there anyway.
Okay.
And we don't have enough data to really give a definitive answer.
Mm. There you go, Joy. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. Bye.
Jenny in Hartford. Hi.
Hello. Hey, I was wondering how you cook puffball mushrooms.
Oh, puffballs. So my favorite way is to cut them in strips, kind of like eggplant strips.
Yep.
And then dip them in egg and water, and then wrap them in Keebler Club Cracker crumbs. Say that 3 times fast. and then fry them in the olive oil and butter.
Oh.
The egg and water?
Yep. So you're just making, you're essentially making the same thing you would do with eggplant.
So it's a wash.
All right.
Yeah. That sounds good to me.
Yeah. So it's good. Good and stew, too.
I made them just with butter, and I'm like, ew.
No,
I
that's not good.
I knew they're going to be good, but. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, and usually anything I cook with butter is going to turn out good, but that's a case where it's not the case.
Yeah, everything is good and better with butter. Everything's better with bacon, too.
Yep. Oh, you and I are on the same page, Tom.
Yes.
I want to thank you so much for... Do you have ever offer classes or take people out?
I take people out now and then. I teach a mushroom class in the fall, and we have a lot of forays and things like that, so... if you go to my webpage at tomvolkfungi.net, there's a lot more information about mushrooms. I'll put that link on your page, too.
Oh, thank you, Tom. Thanks so much. And if you can answer that, I think there was maybe one or two other...
There's a few questions I'll answer, yeah.
Okay, on my Facebook page. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Tom Volk is a professor of biology at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. Man, he knows a lot, doesn't he, about mushrooms? It's great to have him... with us today, and talk about getting out in the outdoors and spending a little time looking for mushrooms. I'll tell you another thing you ought to do during this month of May is to spend a little time in wetlands. May is American Wetlands Month, and we are going to be talking about our wetlands next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.